Log Talk Radio.
For Saturday, March 11th, 2017, this is Earth Ancients. I'm your host, Cliff Dunning. Hey, if you're like me, it's tough to get time to read books. I have books sent to me by publishers every week. Just never enough time. And I've discovered audiobooks, and I am taking them on full-time, regular downloads of books from Audible, and it's a tremendous site, and I think they have like 50,000 titles that are all digitized, ready to download. And right now I am reading a book every week, which is phenomenal. Before I found this, I was reading maybe a book a month. That's how hard it was for me to open up the pages and sit down and read a book. I just didn't have the time. With Audible, I can punch it in on my console when I'm driving. I listen to it at night after the day's pretty much over, and it's really, really the way to go. I strongly urge you to consider it, especially if you're like me, you just don't have the time or the commitment to be able to finish a book. I mean, I have five or six books that are laying around that are partially read. One I was looking at the other day. I think I started it 3 months ago, and I finished the first chapter, and it is still sitting there. So unfortunately, that's the way it is with hardcovers. But hey, digital books. Case in point, author Douglas Preston has written a book called The Lost City of the Monkey God, and I have featured him on the Facebook page. You can see a lot of fantastic photographs that he took, Doug Preston. And if you don't know who he is, he's a writer for the National Geographic. He's a prolific author. And this new book, The Lost City of the Monkey God, is quite unique in that it's a excellent review of the discovery of a new city in Honduras, a very old city. They're thinking a couple of thousand years old, but it's not a Mayan city. It's not a civilization that they even recognize. It's a completely new civilization of an unknown people. And I featured some lidar scans that were taken a couple of years ago. And what they did is they finally went in last year and they excavated the area. So this is really, really something that's quite unique. And there you go. I listened to the entire book in the comfort of my free time, which is basically headphones or with my iPhone playing the actual digital. And I listened to a couple of chapters as I was driving. And boy, Audible is, it's not really a revolution because audiobooks have been around for a while, but it is pretty cool, so check it out. Earth Ancients is brought to you by Gaia. Hey, and this week they are presenting a full line of their featured programs. And remember, just 99 cents gives you full access to over 7,000 titles. They have a really nice series. In fact, I was really surprised. I went and took a look at Dave Wilcock's Power of the Pyramid series. And not only does he have five programs, but they have Dr. Carmen Bolter's Pyramid Code. They have a series by Graham Hancock. Their pyramid program is quite good. So if you want to get that, the first month is 99 cents. The following months are about $9. And to get it, go to Gaia, GAIA.com/Earth Ancients. And I tell people, look, This is a way to get 7,000 titles of everything related to Earth Ancients. But not only that, if you want to learn how to meditate, if you want to learn about the basics of yoga, if you are in anything regarding Eastern philosophy, you should check it out. It's just amazing selection of material, all under one website. So check it out, gaia.com/Earth Ancients. When you go to our main Gaia page, you'll see a selection of videos that they're offering for you as a member. It's 99 cents, and then after that, it's probably about $1. So check that out. I think you're really going to like it.
Of all the boys I've known, and I've known some.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Coming to you live from around the world, it's Earth Ancient News.
And we got some cool stuff on the Facebook page this week. Probably one of the most important pieces is last December, just this past few months ago, author John Anthony West and Graham Hancock got together in New York to discuss some of John's work on the Sphinx, his further discoveries on Egypt. And it was captured in a video series. And no one, you know, you were only able to hear it if you were there. And I actually got the video of the entire piece, and it's complete. It's an hour and 15 minutes. So be sure to check that out. If you're into those guys, if you like Graham Hancock, who's really a favorite of mine, as well as John Anthony West, here's an opportunity to hear a really, really great conversation about ancient Egypt. Facebook, go to Earth Ancients, go to the group page, and you can see the entire conversation. Last week in Cairo, a gigantic monolith was uncovered. So huge. Apparently, it's 26 feet tall. It's in a Cairo slum, and they're still excavating it, but it's a huge monolith of Ramses II. And this thing is a colossus. It's huge. It weighs, I think they said it was like 70 tons. It's so big that they had to use a mechanical digger to dig out a section of it. And then they use various types of lifts to lift out the pieces. It's broken into like seven huge pieces, a giant head, torso, base. And this thing is huge. You can see the entire piece on the Facebook page. There's about five amazing photographs. It's made out of solid granite. And Ramses II was a prolific builder. It seems like he has more of these monolithic sculptures than any of the other pharaohs. So quite a unique discovery. You can see that in its entirety on the Facebook page. Also, if you go down a little further, there's a Roman quarry, Mon Claudius, is a Roman quarry in Egypt, and I got some photographs of a massive granite column that was discovered in 1823, and I have never seen this before. It is huge. It is really a monster. I think it's like 80 feet high or tall by about 20 feet across. And you can see the surveyors looking at it. The curious thing about this column is they don't know how it was made. Now, in today's technology, where we are today, we would take stone or we would take wood and we would spin it on a lathe, a mechanical lathe. It spins at a high revolution. And then you use a tool to cut and it rounds the square wood. This is from... I think it's 1000 BC. Now, what did they have back in 1000 BC that they could spin? What mechanical devices? Anyhow, it's left to your opinion. In fact, I even say that. What do you think? The Romans were ingenious engineers, but this is a monolith of tremendous size. And you can see it on the Facebook page. Go to Facebook, Earth Ancients, and go to the group page. You can see this. And as always, check out what's going on that page, because every single day I post material. We have a group of contributors who are posting material from around the world, and this is the only way you're going to see it. Also, as a reminder, sign up for the Earth Ancients website and get the monthly newsletter. Every 2 weeks, I post a newsletter. It's www.earthancients.com. And register at the bottom. Every 2 months, I put out a newsletter, and there's articles and other information that are key. Today we have a new segment, and this is all about Mars. Now, we've had George Haas on the program before. George is the director of the Cydonian Institute on the East Coast, and George has uncovered an amazing structure on Mars. It's he calls it a keyhole formation, and what's unique about this is it's the same design as a Kofun tomb in Japan. George, how are you today?
Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, tell us about this keyhole formation, because, as I look at it, it is dead on for a Kofun tomb.
Yeah, this formation on Mars is located in the Libyan Mounds area of Mars, which is in the northeastern hemisphere, totally the other side of the planet where the famous face on Mars is. NASA started taking pictures of this with the Themis camera back in 2007. And when they got the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter camera up there, they also took some pictures with the CTX image camera on the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. And in 2011, they took a high-resolution image of this, which really is a striking photograph of this formation. And it shows its exquisite geometry. This thing is symmetrical.
Yeah.
It's got a circular dome on top with a triangular wedge shape below it. NASA called it an exclamation mark. When the image was released on the NASA site, they actually had one of their scientist Alfred McEwen tried to explain this on their website in a little caption that accompanied the image. Rarely do they have captions on the images. Usually they just put them up and, they have all the science data and all the ancillary data for people to look at. But actually they felt the need to actually try to explain this, which they couldn't do in the caption. It was unexplainable.
Well, did they call it the keyhole? Because you're right, it does look like a three-dimensional keyhole.
Well, the keyhole formation is a term. The Kofun formation is a keyhole tomb.
I'm
just using the terminology that archaeologists use.
NASA
called it an exclamation mark, I guess, just to throw us off.
It doesn't.
But
I hear what you say. It does look like that in a way. The thing that's quite unique about this this discovery is, this is not even it's not even guesswork. I mean, you are comparing it in the image that you sent me with the Kofun tomb, and it's a dead on. It's dead on for that, which makes us scratch our heads, because the Kofun period is about 800 years ago, and it's a megalithic period. They don't know a lot about it. There isn't a lot of documents for that time period, but it's a very mysterious time frame in Japan's history. We've had an author on here, a couple of people talk about this megalithic period of Japan, and it's kind of a question mark. So it makes you scratch your head, like, okay, is this some of this exchange
of
technology?
There was an indigenous people that lived on Japan before the Japanese culture got there, and they were very tall. They almost looked like the type of culture that you see up in the Russian, way out in the cold portions of Russia. But it's very interesting. And the other thing that we found about this is looking at all the alignments and the symmetry of the structure. It's amazing. In the paper, we do a whole geological study, and our conclusion is that this cannot be made naturally.
Right, and the paper that you placed it in, that's a scientific paper, correct?
Yes, it's in the Journal of Space Exploration. It's Tri-Science Incorporated. They're out of England.
Wow.
And it was published back in November.
Okay. And what part of Mars is this located? Is this not around Cydonia? It's someplace else, right?
No, it's in the northeastern hemisphere. It's 6 degrees north by about 92 degrees east.
Which is what area is that called? Do you know?
It's right below Utopia.
It is by Utopia. Okay.
Yeah, below that.
Okay. Fantastic. I'm going to go ahead and post that on the Facebook page with a little description, and then we'll have to the Cydonia Institute's website, George, and fantastic discovery. Thank you for talking about it. It's pretty cool.
Well, thanks for having me on, Cliff, and I hope your audience finds this pretty interesting, considering a lot of them are interested in archaeology.
I think they will. It's pretty cool. It's a dead ringer for ancient Japan. So, hey, we'll talk to you again.
Thanks a lot.
Last week, we had Dr. Richard Hansen on the program talking to us about El Mirador and just the massive size. And I wanted to talk about other pyramids this week. And so we hadn't had Sam Osmanovic on the program, Dr. Sam Osmanovic, who's the founder of the Bosnian pyramids. And there's so much that has happened since their discovery. They've discovered canals under the pyramid. They've discovered that these canals have waterways that carry healing properties. There's high levels of ions, negative ions, and other healing properties. And he talked a little bit last year about some of the energetics that are coming out of this pyramid complex and that have actually been tested. Different tools have been used to test the energy as it comes up. And we know that the Mayan pyramids and many of the Central American pyramids have energy emitting from them. We don't know how it's done. We do know from people like John Burke that these pyramids, artificial mountains and hills, were created and built over the top of geomagnetic fields. A lot of them have canals built into them. But I wanted to learn more about Bosnia. And so I gave Dr. Sam Osmanovic a call, and here's the interview. So we've been talking a great deal about pyramids. We spoke with Dr. Richard Hansen last week, and we were discussing the El Mirador Pyramid in Guatemala. If you remember, those of you listening, that we discussed the great Acropolis and the largest pyramid in the Americas, which is the La Dante Pyramid, which is at 243 feet, including the artificial platform. So it's quite large. But I wanted to touch base with Dr. Sam again, Sam Osmanovic, and his work in Bosnia. I received a notice that he had written a paper on the energetics of this, the main pyramid. And this paper he wrote is quite interesting because he relates it to Tesla's work in his factory in New York. And so we have Sam on with us right now. How are you, Dr. Sam?
I'm doing fine. Happy to be with you again.
Thank you. Hey, so tell me about this paper you wrote. It's I didn't read the whole thing, but we've talked before about the analysis that has been done on the Pyramid of the Sun at the Bosnian Pyramids, and it's quite unusual. There's actually a measurable frequency that is coming from the pyramid. And how does that relate to this paper you wrote on Tesla's work? I'm curious.
Now, in the last 7 years, we have had teams of engineers, physicists, electrical engineers, and sound engineers from several countries, Serbia, Croatia, Finland, Italy, Germany. And they've been measuring different energy phenomena on the top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. Back in 2010, we concluded that we had an energy beam, which is electromagnetic in nature, 13 feet radius, going through the top of the Sun Pyramid in Bosnia, and it was getting stronger as it moved away from the top of the pyramid. Later on, after the Croatian team, the Serbian team, with the engineer Marjanovic, confirmed the measurement and confirmed the reading of 28 kilohertz frequency. So at that time, we knew that the pyramid emits electromagnetic beam through the top of the pyramid, which is getting stronger and stronger as it moves away from the pyramid. So theoretically, it meant for us that this beam can go through the ionosphere. It can go through our solar system to another solar system, reaching another planet. So we knew that there was a possibility of interplanetary communication. Now, in the last 7 years, we've had many more experiments. And in the fall of 2016, we sent a drone with the 7 different instruments, different heights, up to 180 feet. And the drone would fly horizontally, left, right, back and forth for 160 feet, and then go on the higher altitude, and then again, back, forth, left and right. So we have concluded that among other energy phenomena, above the pyramid, we have electrical field. It starts as a narrow field, 13 feet. Then it expands left and right. And then at 75 feet above the top of the pyramid, it's the strongest and widest. And then it gets narrower and narrow until it gets back to 13 feet. And then again, it expands, gets smaller, and so on. So it looks like an elongated ellipsoid. Now, this was very interesting because according to our engineers, these are the torsion fields. Torsion fields. Now, you mentioned Tesla, and you're right. Nikola Tesla, the physicist who was born in Croatia, 100 years ago, in his mature age, he built famous Wardenclyffe Tower in the state of New York. And even though he made only one experiment because they cut the funds, he has proven that he had found ways to send unlimited quantities of energy, thousands of horsepowers, between the planets, regardless of their distance. Now, the frequency that he was using was the frequency of 28 kilohertz. So now it seems that this is the frequency of the, you know, communication in the universe. But then, important thing that we discovered last fall when we processed the information in this winter was that the direction of this energy beam was south-southwest. We did the measurement at noontime and in the afternoon. And at that time, Sun is located south-southwest. So it seems that this energy beam is pointed to the Sun. Does it mean that this energy beam going to the Sun as some type of the cosmic gateway? Well, since we are talking about the torsion field, or they are also very well known as the scalar waves.
Scalar, yeah.
Or standing waves. Now, this is very significant fact, orientations towards the sun. According to the Einstein theory, the biggest speed that we have is the speed of light. Everything bigger than the speed of light will cause things to dematerialize. However, for our planet, that speed is good enough. Because from my office, your office, if it generates the light, it will reach within 1 second. But if you send the light to our sun, it takes 7.5 minutes. If you send it to the center of our galaxy, Milky Way, it takes 26,000 years for the light to reach the center of the galaxy. So it is very slow. And now imagine, our galaxy is just one of 400 billion galaxies in the universe. It would take millions of years for the light to get to the center of the universe. So let's imagine, if we are creator, and we have created 400 billion galaxies, each one has hundreds of billions of stars, each star like our sun has planets, and then some planets have moons. In order to control, to manipulate this vast number of cosmic objects, you would need speed much quicker than the speed of light. And torsion field, scalar waves, produce the speed which is 10 billion times bigger than the speed of light.
Okay.
So, with this speed, we are able to communicate immediately every part of the universe.
So let me stop you right there. So, how is the beam generated, number one? And then the number two is, in Central America, the researcher John Burke has detected similar types of energy coming up through a number of Central American pyramids. There's a mechanism in those pyramids that is tripped as the natural electromagnetic or telluric energy comes up. It captures something in the pyramid, and then it's enhanced greatly, and it passes up. What do you think is the mechanism in the Bosnian pyramid?
As a scientist, with our scientific teams visiting us, we are looking for the scientific arguments and scientific answers. What we do know so far is that the most powerful shape, geometrical shape, when it comes to the energy, is the shape of the pyramid. Secondly, the location of the pyramid is extremely important. The oldest and the most superior pyramids, they are always located above potent energy places. In the case of the Visoko Valley in Bosnia and Herzegovina, below the Bosnian pyramid of the sun, we have iron plate. Iron generates electromagnetic field. What the pyramid does, it, you know, pulls this electromagnetism, amplifying it. And how do we know that it amplifies electromagnetic field? Well, we measure energy at the base of the pyramid and at the top. At the top, it is 50 times stronger. The second source of energy, underground water flow. When water moves, it releases negative ions. Source number three. 60 feet below the sun pyramid, we have the first underground water flow, and then 250 feet is the second water flow. So in between, electrical field is generated. Source number four. We have natural magnetism. Source number five. We have life of organ energy. And probably there are more sources of energy, but at this point we really don't know. We don't have scientific instruments to measure them. So the pyramid amplifies all these natural sources of the energy. How does it amplify? What are the parts or mechanisms? Well, below the pyramid, we have underground tunnel. Tunnel, they amplify the energy. Inside the pyramid, we have 7 levels of passageways at different depths. And those passageways, they are laid out as a spiral. So imagine energy going through the underground tunnel, getting amplified, and going through those passageways, which are spiral, the energy is spinning, and getting to the very top of the pyramid. The next important element, quartz crystal. We've been finding through our archaeological digging a lot of quartz crystal on the top of the Sun Pyramid, in the tunnel, and most probably it is under the pyramid. I'm saying most probable because we haven't done digging there yet. It has to dig real, real deep. So now we can see that somebody was using natural resources. They knew about the properties of different materials, like quartz crystals, probably more minerals, properties of the tunnels, passageways, cavities, resonance chambers, a lot of chambers inside the Sun Pyramid. And they made this rather complex energy machine. The good thing about our project, unlike Egyptian pyramids, or Mexican, or Chinese, or Peruvian, this project is not run exclusively by archaeologists and Egyptologists. As we know, archaeologists, they have very limited view of the ancient past. What they look for, looking for, you know, pottery, stone, primitive tools, and so on. They do not have an engineering mind. So they do not allow the possibility that the pyramids are energy machines.
Yeah.
And then finally, to finish the answer to your question, it doesn't seem to me that all these natural resources, including the shape of the pyramid and perfect orientation east, west, north, south, and even sacred geometry that we have in the Bosnian Valley of the pyramid, like 3 biggest pyramids, 4 equilateral triangle, and so on, I don't think it's enough to make very specific frequency of 28 kilohertz. You have to have some technological gadgets, some other parts that they are hidden deep within the pyramid.
So have you done scans in the lower, middle, and upper sections of the pyramid to see if there is any artificial potential mechanisms or devices or anything to capture and enhance this natural flow?
We have been using what is available on the market. For example, the georadar technology.
Yeah.
The experts from Germany and from Belgrade, Serbia, they are coming, but the deepest they can go with this technology is about 60 feet.
Mm.
But in reality, the clear picture is only about 20 feet because of the nature of terrain. Then we've done some geoelectrical scanning. Our Russian colleagues from the Schmidt Institute, Professor Kavroshkin and Siplakov, came. And what they noticed was that looking from the top, 900 feet below the top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, they scanned network of tunnels.
Oh.
Now we have discovered the entrance to the tunnel 1.5 miles away from the pyramid. And we've been moving towards the pyramid. What we do, now this is the biggest pyramid. This is the biggest network of the tunnels. They run for dozens of miles. So our problem in the tunnels is that not only that we can see civilizations who built a lot of tunnels, passageways, intersections, chambers, underground lakes, but also the second civilization came 4,610 years, you know that, based on the radiocarbon dating of the material we are finding there. They filled up all existing tunnels, they closed them, they shut them down, and they made a lot of drywall. So what we do actually, we remove drywall, we remove the filler material, and we move towards the pyramid. In the meantime, we are putting wooden supports for safety reasons and the like. So we are going there, and then the entrance to the tunnel comparing to this network of the tunnels below the pyramid, they are at the same elevation.
Okay?
So eventually we're going to get there and connect to those tunnels, and this is our goal. Let me remind you, we've been clearing those tunnels for 10 years now.
Yeah.
And beginning, we had maybe 20, 30 feet open tunnels, and after that, we've been removing this material thanks to the help of the volunteers and our employees. And so far, we have cleared about 6,000 feet.
Wow.
Huge labyrinth. So it's probably one of the biggest discoveries in underground world anywhere. Of course, we know that in Teotihuacan, they discovered tunnels under the Quetzalcoatl pyramid and the sun and the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we are talking about 60 to 100 feet. Of course, there are tunnels, for example, in Cappadocia, in mid-Turkey. But also there are other, known, and we are not talking about such distances. There are some tunnels in Austria from prehistorical times, 24,000 years ago built. But then again, a couple of hundred feet. In Bosnia, it's really made.
Pretty big. You said something to me recently that I thought was quite interesting. You said that one of your researchers had estimated that the Pyramid of the Sun was artificial, that it had been man-made. Did I hear you right about that?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Our Russian colleagues, when they were scanning the pyramid, their conclusion was that it was made from the non-compact material.
Non-compact.
What is compact material? Well, that's a natural sedimentation. Over millions of years, you got natural hills. They're very compact. But non-compact means somebody was using construction material from the bottom up, from the base to the top of the pyramid. Well, I think that most probably they were using some of the existing ground and hills. But then what they were doing, they were shaping those hills. They were removing four sides in order to get four triangular faces and the perfect orientation. I mentioned the perfect orientation for the second time. Why is that important? We know today that everything is energy. Our planet is a huge energy ball. Our bodies are energies. Now, within the planet, there are energy flows. And the most significant and the strongest energy flow is north-south. The second strongest, east-west. So when you make a pyramid and you perfectly orient it, it initiates movement of the energy within the pyramid. So, somebody probably, shaped this natural hill, made four triangle faces, made passageways, tunnels, resonance chambers, and then on the top, we have 18 million tons of artificially made concrete. Some people call it geopolymer concrete, some people call it synthetic concrete. We've analyzed the concrete samples in 7 institutes of materials. Now, this concrete is the best quality in the world concrete. Mm. Now, this is something that is measurable. Our concrete in 21st century has hardness from 10 megapascals to 60 megapascals. The best quality made in Germany and the US. What we have in Bosnia, it's in the range from 73 megapascals to 134. But never such a good concrete material was made like the one that covers the biggest pyramid on the planet.
Wow.
Which is rather logical. What is not logical to the conventional scientist is the age of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. Namely, between several layers of concrete, we discovered organic material, fossilized leaves. So during the construction, the builders were placing first layer of concrete, second, third, fourth. The wind was blowing and two leaves came on the top of the fourth layer. And then the builders placed the fifth, the final layer. Well, between the fourth and the fifth layer, we discovered those organic leaves, meaning they should give a precise age of the construction. We sent it for the radiocarbon dating in Kiev, in the lab. They gave us a date of 29,200 years, plus minus 400 years.
Wow.
So go back for 30,000 years. So We have the first pyramid in Europe, the biggest on the planet, Egyptian Great Pyramid, 475 feet, Bosnian, over 722 feet.
Yeah.
The second Bosnian pyramid, Pyramid of the Moon, 600 feet. And now, the oldest, the best orientation to the cardinal point, the best quality concrete, and now we have this measurable energy phenomena. So with this project, it's a game changer. Everything changes.
Yeah.
We need to change history books.
Yeah. Can you speak to the pyramids in Central America and in China? As an example, we had Dr. Richard Hansen, who's excavating El Mirador in Guatemala, and he, when they first discovered El Mirador, they were flying over it, that area of the basin, and they saw these, what looked like white mountains. Well, the white mountains were these monstrous pyramid complexes. But the thing is curious to me, and I'm interested in your opinion, in Mexico City, Teotihuacan, at the pyramid of the serpent or the Kukulcan pyramid, they have dug underneath it and found waterways, man-made canals that's bringing water in. They don't know where the water originates because it's been thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But in that discovery, they found balls made of pyrite, fool's gold they call it. And they didn't find a few, they found hundreds and hundreds of these, which to my mind was a chemical reaction of some capacity that increased the energy flow or something like that. My question to you is, if Bosnia was the original source 30,000 years ago of artificial man-made hill structure like pyramids, do you think that the early inventors, the early people of the Central America built the artificial version of the same type of pyramid with that component of delivering a chemical reaction to enhance and increase the energy flow?
Central America is very, very intriguing region. The Mayans built tens of thousands of pyramids, and less than 10% have been uncovered. For example, Palenque in the central Mexican state of Chiapas has 25 uncovered pyramids, the most impressive, the Temple of Inscriptions. But originally they had 1,229 pyramids.
That's a lot.
The same thing everywhere. In the tiny Belize, smallest country in Central America, only 4 sites are open for the public. Originally they had 1,000 cities, towns, and villages. Every one of them would have several pyramids. So, imagine how much we do not know about the Mayan civilization. Of course, you talk to archaeologists, you read the Encyclopedia Britannica, they will tell you, yeah, the Mayans, that was a Stone Age culture, society, they are building stuff, but they are still rather primitive. Of course, a primitive society does not build such a huge, magnificent structures like pyramids and temples. You mentioned El Mirador. Very important, because until discovery of El Mirador, people thought that Tikal, also in Guatemala, in the northern province of Petén, was the biggest Mayan city, the capital of the Mayan world. Wrong. El Mirador is bigger. The pyramid in El Mirador is bigger than the one in Tikal. So it tells us a lot to discover. But then, you know, after 1,000 years, in some cases thousands of years, the forest, jungle, overgrown the Mayan cities. Now, since we don't have so much in writing of the Mayan civilization, we have their codexes. We have France and Madrid. We have the one in the US, one in the Czech Republic. And through them, we learn that they knew about the astronomy, about the calendar, about the movement of the planet, and the Venus, and Mars, and the Sun, and so on and so forth. But out of 800 symbols, less than 200 have been deciphered, partially. So again, we don't know much about them. What we do know is the way how they calculated the time.
Yeah.
They had just two symbols. One is dot, a symbol for number 1, 2, 3, 4, four dots, four, and the line. One line, 5, two lines, 10, so two lines and four dots, 14. But in the first row, they had numbers from 1 to 20, second row from 20 to 400, third row from 400 to 8,000. As you go deeper, you can see that they can express millions. Why do I mention that? Because in the Celas, in Quirigua, in eastern Guatemala, the Mayans are talking about two important days, 4.5 billion years and 13 billion years. They had the concept of billions of years. We thought we were the only ones who can talk about it. So, when it comes to Maya, a lot more to discover.
Yeah.
What did they know about the energy? Hard to say at this point. Teotihuacan, it seems it does not belong to the Mayan civilization, even though they did have contact for sure, we know that. But it's a little bit different style, architecture is different. Of course, they are much, much older than what conventional science is saying, 2,100 or 2,200 years. They are saying it was built over the period of 150 years, which is also wrong. We don't have a single scientific proof for that. But you are right. In the underground tunnel, not only under the Quetzalcoatl pyramid that you mentioned, the third, the smallest out of three biggest pyramids in the Teotihuacan, the bigger one, Sun and the Moon pyramid, they also have underground tunnel. In 1960s, they were doing excavation there under the Sun pyramid, but the archaeologist who was working there then, he got lost in that network of the tunnels, never came back to the surface, and then the project was closed for 50 years, and then just recently, 4 or 5 years back, they started excavating those tunnels. Now, still a lot of secrets. You mentioned the ball, the stone ball. When it comes to the ball, biogeometry, interesting new science is telling us the three most powerful geometrical shapes are the shapes of the pyramid, the conical shape, and spherical shape. Now, the spherical shape, it has the power, number one, to neutralize negative energy. And negative energy is coming from underground in the form of underground water flow, energy coming there, and balls can, you know, neutralize negative, transforming to positive energy. That's one, the first thing. Then you have different materials, different type of conductivities, and then their reaction with the water, which we need to, you know, explain. You have those canals, and you're right, canals and water, because the pyramids, they need exactly canals and the water. Water is necessary for this machine to work. Negative ion, electricity. So it was always about different energy forms. And I don't think that from our concept of energy, we can explain what they were doing. In our case, under the Bargean Pyramid, we have a underground water flows. On the top, we have electrical field. For some physicists, it's almost impossible. They understand that electrical field is formed below the pyramid. They cannot understand how come you have this electrical field above the, what's happening inside the pyramid. We need to try to figure out how those complex machines work.
Okay, so John Burke, who did the analytical study on the World Pyramid at Tikal and has a number of pyramids in the Yucatan Peninsula, measured a fields during the nighttime, during the morning sun rising and things like that, and discovered that the energy was highest in the sun, during the sunrise, so on and so forth. But he was very simple in his analysis, and he did. My belief is that it was used, these pyramids were used for more than just enhancing human beings, and also in Burke's case, enhancing seed crops to make these, in his case, the study of corn, to grow, to be bigger, stronger, more, and yield more product. My question to you is, and you can maybe just, take a good scientific guess. What else were they using this energy for? Like Chris Dunn, if you've read his work, he believes the Giza Pyramid was a power plant. And they had a way to channel that, and they used it to cut the stones and to build these gigantic standing statues. But in the Central America, I don't know, maybe it was the same thing. What do you say? I'm just curious, because that's really the big question.
Okay. Now, again, we need to invite science to help us. Unfortunately, only Bosnian and the Russian scientists have been doing experiments in the field of science with the pyramid energy. Now, of course, we have access because we run the project and, you know, I established non-profit, non-government organization to run the Bosnian Pyramid Project. So I don't have the control from the government, from archaeological associations or elites from England and the US and Germany to tell me what to do, what not to do. Yeah. We simply invite scientists from different fields to help us understand the pyramid. The same thing with the Russians. The private person, the rich person, they've been building pyramids from 1990s in Russia. Like, let's say, Dr. Alexander Golod. He built 16 pyramids, the biggest one, about 50 kilometers from Moscow. Now we have a case that Valery Uvarov is building the pyramid for Vlad, a very wealthy businessman in the middle of Siberia, in Tomsk. So we are able to compare our studies. What we can see in Bosnia, we are the first one who actually measures several times this energy beam going through the top of the Sun Pyramid and towards the our Sun. And the ancients, they were always saying, like Mayans and the others, that the Sun, they were giving their love to the God Sun. Why? Because for them, Sun was so important. Yes, it's giving us warmth. It gives us sun rays, which is light. But it's giving us information. And what we can see in the case of the Sun Pyramid in Bosnia, not only that it transmits, emits information, probably it's receiving information as the antenna. But now we are coming to such important technology that can communicate both ways with other cosmic bodies. This is not technology that we have today in 21st century. Yeah. How can we communicate with the center of the universe? So some form of telecommunication. The second, you did mention enhanced human body. Well, we have done a lot of research over there. Under the Bosnian pyramids, we have tunnels. In those tunnels, we have energy flow, electromagnetism, but also ultrasound, 28 kilohertz frequency, which is the frequency of the levitation. What does that mean? It means that with this frequency, people relax in our tunnels and meditate. The frequency enables them to remove the breaks between the physical body and spiritual body so you can achieve astral projection much easier and much quicker. Mm. So once you have astral projection, once you have your soul out of your body, then you can travel through space and time. And then it opens up another field of the research, the field of spiritual ability. In 21st century, we are beings who rely on our five physical senses. See, we can hear, we can taste, we can touch. However, the ancients knew that besides five physical, we had 30 spiritual senses, telepathy, you know, we exchange thoughts, telekinesis, we move objects with the power of our mind, teleportation. Well, exactly, I was talking about it with this ultrasound frequency, seeing other people's energy. If they need energy, we transfer from us energy healing. So the places like pyramids, but also some megalithic sites like Stonehenge, Avery Hill, and the others, Anand Shah in Sweden, Karnak in France, with a very strong energy field, probably they use them to improve their aura by energy field. With improved aura, able to develop spiritual senses. So now we can see that pyramid energy, telecommunication. Now, the health, also very important. Last year, 2016, in September, we did a medical study. We had 20 people in this town of Visoko in Bosnia. We sent them in the morning in the clinic. They got the, you know, samples of blood and urine taken, and we checked 30 parameters. blood pressure, the sugar in the blood, stuff like that, the stress. And they went to our tunnel under the pyramid. After 1 hour, they came back, they went straight to the clinic. Again, they took their sample for the blood and urine, and we did the same thing, we repeated the same thing 1 week later and 2 weeks later. Shortly. In all cases, we have noticed improvement of the health. For example, sedimentation. If you have higher sedimentation, it means that you have, you know, infection, disease, inflammation. Since our group was 40 to 70 years old, everybody has something.
Yeah.
And after 1 hour in the tunnel, they got back 19 out of 20 had reduced sedimentation. So it meant that something was happening momentarily in the tunnel. What was happening? Self-healing process. A regeneration process. Why? Well, we know why. First, the best electromagnetic field. Second, the best ultrasound frequency, levitation frequency. Number three, the best energy field, 7.83 Hz. The best resonance field, which is in science called the Schumann resonance. Number four, high concentration of negative ions. We know negative ions, they clean our bodies, the viruses, bacteria, they raise the level of oxygen. Number five, we have a lot of underground water flow there, but they place series of mega ceramic blocks above underground water flow, neutralizing negative energy from the underground waters. Six, the cosmic radiations. We live on the surface of the planet. A lot of cosmic radiations, and some of them are harmful. They're coming our way. Our body cells fight those enemies. You get inside the tunnel, 130 feet below the ground, no harmful cosmic radiation, no natural radioactivity. So we have 8-9 factors which is telling us that the tunnels under the pyramids with the pyramid energy are the safest, the best protected place ever. In such a place, body cells without the enemies, they start doing their job. They start the regeneration process. So this is, of course, a very important part of the pyramid energy, because when we think about our lives, what is the most precious thing that we have? That's a good health and prolonged life. The next thing also extremely important, water. We have a science about water, you know, throughout the last 20 years, people like late Dr. Masaru Emoto, showing the molecular structure of this sample. You have contaminated water. The molecular structure looks ugly. You have our tap, city water. It looks bad. You know, there is no structure because of chlorine, because of traces of heavy metals, because of water going through the pipes. It's energetically dead. The water exposed to the pyramid energy. Perfect molecular structure. In our case, in the case of Bosnian pyramid water, it forms hexagonal structure. Why hexagonal? Perfect geometrical shape, and on the side, we can see crystal-like shape, you know, like Christmas trees. This water is energetically alive. It is happy water. It is a healing water. Now, as we talk this morning, Bosnia hosted until today a famous Russian scientist named Professor Dr. Konstantin Korotkov. Professor Korotkov, you know, he developed a number of scientific instruments to measure energy for space, human, water. He was shocked what he found here in Bosnia. For example, we were sending people, he was measuring before and after coming from the tunnels. In every case, all the parameters were much better. People come with a high stress, they get back, stress is maximally reduced. People come with a low energy level, low energy reserve, of the cell, 10-20%, they come back 100%. People come with a bad energy field, they come back, it's completely fixed. And things like that. So, when we're talking about the pyramid energy, we can see thing after thing can be affected with this beneficial energy, from telecommunication to health, improvement to molecular structure, aura field, and immunity, spiritual senses. You did mention seed.
Yeah.
Of the plant, and you are completely right. Our Russian colleagues are placing the seed, and they would grow much quicker, much faster, richer, healthier, and so on. Also, when we think about the social organization, is there influence of the pyramid energy to the society? Our Russian colleagues, they put 5 tons, 11,000 pounds, of salt in the pyramid. After being exposed in the pyramid, they took it to the nearby prison, near Moscow. 6,000 prisoners. And they were using salt, you know, during breakfast, and lunch, and dinner. And when he went back to the prison 3 months later, he asked the department chiefs if they noticed any difference in prisoners. The answer he got was amazing. They told him that it looked like these are completely new prisoners. They were so calm and peaceful. And the level of violence was reduced to 0%. So we can see so many different ways to apply this real energy. Some that are not applied, but we know about them, they diminish the global catastrophe. If you place series of pyramids in the earthquake area, instead of one huge earthquake, you're going to get a series of smaller ones. If you place it near the volcano, instead of the huge volcanic eruption, and they are giving us a lot of trouble. 75,000 years ago, the one that hit Indonesia, it almost, you know, wiped off the whole of humanity. 99% of humans were gone. That's volcanic eruption. The next one, the holes in ozone layer. Remember 20 years ago when people started talking about those holes? One huge was, you know, above New Zealand and Australia. The pyramid energy can fix even those holes in the ozone layer. Interesting thing, and I talked to Dr. Golot, he told me he offered the government in Australia and New Zealand, you know, the pyramids, they did not accept it. The next thing, what he did, he placed the pyramid near the oil field. In the oil field, you know, they're extracting the oil and gas. Mm-hmm. Once with the pyramid, production was 30% better. Why? Because the pyramid pulls, you know, up all these different forms, you know, the water, the oil and gas and stuff like that. And the quality was much better. So I would say probably unlimited, you know, purposes of the pyramid energy. Now what you mentioned and the engineer Chris Dunn, well, I agree, you know, he named his book, He's a Power Plant. Yeah. Yes, it's a power plant. But they are not generating energy from nothing, but they would amplify existing energy sources. Did they use them as a form of electricity, which they, you know, were able to cut, shape, to transport? Well, from technical standpoint of view, it is possible, but we would need to see more pieces of technological equipment there.
Yeah. Well, you just answered my question because we see it at the Giza pyramid. We see this energy generated in these Central American pyramids. But that brings my next question to mind, and that is the people that built these pyramids were probably 10,000 years or older, very, very, very old civilization. And I believe, and you've talked about this, that their physiology was different. They were much more sensitive. If we look at the Bosnian pyramid and all these mechanisms built in, these flows of energy, the negative ions, which are very health-producing, and the water and so on, they were into purifying the body, mind, and spirit. Now, what do you say to that? Do you automatically deduce that, yes, these beings that built these pyramids were highly advanced physiologically, their body, their organs, or whatever, and they were, you know, touching base with these, you know, who knows if they were working outside of our planet and working with off-world beings, you know. I mean, we could speculate forever. I don't want to go there because I don't want to start talking about ancient aliens. But what do you say about the physiology and what do you hypothesize about the potential for these advanced beings?
In archaeology, we have several questions that need answers. Who, when, how, why? We try to answer to all of them simultaneously here in our Bosnian pyramid research. 12 years are behind us. It has become the most active archaeological site. But comparing to 200 years of Egyptology, and they still don't have the major answer, who really built the biggest pyramid. Of course, there were not pharaohs of the fourth dynasty. Yeah, Khafre-Mefren or Djoser and Sneferu from the third dynasty. How did they do it? I mean, the bedtime stories, 100,000 slaves, I mean, of course not. When? We are going back at least 12,000 before present. And why? Egyptologists do not allow engineers to prove in a scientific way that they were machines. Unlike them, we are open for everyone, but we still don't have answers to all questions. You've been asking why. I mean, who? That's, of course, a major question. Who? Especially 30,000 years ago.
Yeah.
At this point, we do not have a definitive scientific proof who were the builders of the Bosnian pyramid. Were they people? Humans, as we know them, Homo sapiens, sapiens. It is possible. According to the new science called anthropological genetics, we know the movement of the people on European soil. All these people are the Basques, 55,000 years, Spain and southern France, the second oldest cultural oasis, Central Balkan area, and Bosnia is exactly in the center of the Balkan Peninsula in southern Europe, and the third area is around the Black Sea, Ukraine. So those three civilizations are living in southern Europe. Why? For simple reason, because northern Europe was covered by ice until 12,000 years ago. So we know that humans are suspect number one, because 3,000 years ago, they were the same people like we are today. Same brain, the same intelligence, the same artistic abilities. But they did not have technology like we have it today. Now, if you want to solve some problem, let's say problem of transportation. The Sun Pyramid in Bosnia, 18 million tons. You cannot use some primitive technique. Either you use, like what we have today, huge trucks and the huge cranes and stuff like that, or you find a way, let's say, to levitate all this material. You need to find a way how to neutralize gravitational force, for example. And for that, you need the knowledge. How did they get the knowledge? Maybe they could get it from some energy field or some spiritual field, through the Akasha, like a lot of spiritual scientists that talk today. So it is possible that it's a human. At one point in the distant past, they were very developed, very organized, they built them, and then after the global catastrophes that came later, they were gone. That's one possibility. And it's not impossible. See what we've achieved in the last 200 years. Basically, in two centuries, we went from the medieval stage to the moon in a short 200 years. Now, the second possibility is what you say, you don't want to speculate. Is it possible that some type of extraterrestrial society, civilization from other planets came to our planet and they brought the knowledge about the pyramids? It is possible. Why is it possible? Because we can see on this planet that the oldest pyramids are at the same time the biggest and the most superior. For example, in the central Chinese province of Shanxi, near the city of Xi'an, there are 250 pyramids. 70 of them are big, large pyramids, 230 are smaller. The big pyramids are superior because they are built from the granite, and sandstone blocks, and they are over 12,000 years old. The smaller one, they started building it from the Emperor Qin from 2,300 years ago until 1,000 years ago. They are smaller, built from inferior mud bricks. Mm. So, there is no evolution, the knowledge has been brought. Same thing in Egypt. The biggest pyramids in Egypt are the oldest. Those that they came later, 12th or 26th dynasty of pharaohs, built from the mud. Bosnian pyramid, 29,200 years. The pyramid in Western Java, Gunung Padang, discovered by our friend Dr. Danny Hillman, 29,000 years. The oldest pyramid in Palenque is at the same time the biggest, but still covered by soil and forest, and they want to uncover it. So now we can see that there is a possibility that somebody came with that knowledge. The third possibility, a lot of people are talking about the hollow earth, possibility that there are some inner earth civilization. Until, you know, we do some scientific research, we will never know if there are possibilities or not. The fourth option, this is not the only dimension, even though, you know, we can see stuff, we can touch them, but, you know, our range of seeing or hearing is actually rather small. We can hear from 10 hertz to 20 kilohertz, that's it. What we don't hear, we call infrasound, below, and ultrasound, above this range. Dogs, cats, they can hear much more. So is it possible that outside our visible frequency, there are some beings who had ability to move and to build? Of course it is possible. So at this point, I would say there are five different options. Which one is right? As a scientist, you need to find hard proofs, hard evidence.
I love how open you are, Sam. You're like, well, it could be dimensional beings. It could be off-world beings. It could be, you know, hollow earth beings. I mean, I tend to believe in the Hindu Yugas, which basically says there's been millions of years of human evolution, there's the high point in the evolution where there's the genius levels, the spiritually evolved beings, and then it slowly de-evolves and de-evolves, and right now we're probably one of the low points, and then it comes back up and there's the high levels again. So I would hope that at some point we would find that these were advanced humans from a different era. So it's just really, really curious. I want to go on to something else that you are featuring on your website that I thought was quite interesting. We've had a number of experts talking about the Costa Rican stone spheres that are, I mean, there's, I don't know, thousands that they've found there. You have posted some quite interesting photos of stone spheres in the Bosnia region. And I wanted to preface that with some interesting photographs that people have sent me of some megalithic stone foundations that are 20, 25 miles from the actual pyramids. And I would think that maybe those stone spheres are from that period, but you actually have done some analysis that I'd like to hear about, and the level of sophistication of these spheres. What have you discovered? And they're quite unique.
Yeah. Well, Bosnia is a very small country, just 3.5 million people. But on this small territory, what we've been finding is amazing. We are finding three types of megalithic structures. Of course, the pyramid, number one, the biggest on the planet.
Yeah.
Number two are megalithic walls. There is a city called Daurson. It's about 100 miles, actually, from the capital.
Oh, is it 100?
City.
Okay.
But then you can see beautiful, not four-sided, but five, six, eight-sided megalithic blocks reaching 2, 4, 5 tons. They fit each other, very similar to those in Peru, pre-Incan civilization, or very old Mexican or Egyptian civilization. But the third phenomenon is the one that you mentioned, the stone balls. In the 1940s and 1950s, this phenomenon came to the surface when United Fruit Company from U.S. was clearing the jungle near the River Dickies in southern Costa Rica. And with the mechanization, bulldozers, they are removing about 15 to 20 feet of soil. They wanted to plant the banana field. And they were discovering big stone balls, perfectly spherical. The material, granodiorite. So it's a granite material, extremely hard, which never comes in the nature spherical. But it's shaped in order to shape granite. Today, we use diamond tool. To get this shape, we use laser-type machines.
Mm.
And some of those balls are reaching 25 tons. There are 298 of them. They were discovered in the jungle. Less than one jungle was removed to plant the banana field. So how many more? I was there several times. And I would say there are probably thousands, if not millions of them.
Hmm.
Officially, in San Jose, in the museum, they are saying there are territorial markers. But I can understand that you put one ball in front of the village, but not thousands or millions of them. They are not territorial markers. They are saying they are made by local Indians. I checked those two tribes. They are still there today in Costa Rica. They don't even have technology today to make those balls. So they are made by more advanced civilization. In western Mexico, near the city of Ajuaco, there are also stone balls, but this time from volcanic material. Easter Island, in the middle of nowhere, stone balls. New Zealand, Antarctica, northern Russia, Egypt, Tunis, Turkey, Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia. In Bosnia, they discovered the stone balls on 20 different locations, made from four different materials. Volcanic stone, granite, sandstone as the base, limestone as the base. In the March of 2016, a year ago, we discovered the biggest stone ball on the planet in central Bosnia, near the town of Zavidovice. Once we measure it, and once we find the specific weight, we concluded that the mass of the stone ball was 37 tons, 80,000 pounds. Now, geologists are saying, well, the stone balls are a natural product, the wind and the water. They're talking about 80,000 pounds. We would have, if that one was natural, we would have thousands of irregularly shaped balls. They are not out there. Somebody made them. And when it comes to the age, the one that we are uncovering in Bosnia, on the top, there is a big tree, about 50 years old. Below the tree, you got the soil, about 200 years old. Below the soil, you have clay. It takes thousands and thousands of years for clay. And then below the clay, you have sandstone clay. It takes hundreds of thousands of years for sandstone. Sediment. So now, I guess we are going to the field that Michael Cremo had dealt with. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands before the era of the Homo sapiens.
Explain that to me. So is the stone ball embedded in the stone plate?
It's below.
It's below
it. Below the sandstone plate, and you can see that the area was intact. It was not like somebody was digging, placing the stone ball there. No. They were there, and then with the time, they were covered soil. Soil was turning to clay. Clay was turning to stone or sandstone.
Exactly.
So it's very, very long process. And this is not the only place. In southwestern Egypt, you can see huge stone balls, and above them is a limestone. It takes hundreds of thousands of years for limestone to sediment. So it's thing after thing. And then, and I understand conventional scientists, they are in such a fear for such discoveries. It changes everything. Their PhDs and professorships are not good. The way they teach our kids is wrong. So they've been using all their tools, Wikipedia, National Geographic, to attack independent researchers like myself, but also so many others who in the last few decades have been having a hard time with their ideas. The good thing about our project in Bosnia, about Dr. Danny Hillman's project in Indonesia, about Michael Tellinger's project in South Africa, about Professor Korotkov, Dr. Alexander Golod, and Valery Uvarov in Russia, is that we have our projects, we have our field projects, and we can do experiments, we can do lab analysis, we can do radiocarbon dating, we can do sample analysis, and then can come up with a scientific conclusion.
So what I didn't hear from you, though, is that in Costa Rica, their hypothesis for the use of the spears was they were markers for mariners, people in boats or whatever. If you're finding spears on land, what is the speculation on what their use was for that? What were they doing there? Was there water there at some point, or is it more that you have a different thought for them?
Water is always present when it comes to the stone balls. Water is always there. Now, we've done some measurements, and then what we could conclude is that, again, you had energy-potent places below stone balls. You have movement of the water, sometimes you have quartz crystals, sometimes you have some conductivity elements, sometimes, like in the play, in the case of Costa Rica and Bosnia, they are very active areas, a lot of storms, so electricity coming from the above. So it's most probably energy related. And it seems to me when you have a big concentration of the stone balls, it is like a mini power plant. When you have a tumulus type structures, which is conical in shape, like Silbury Hill in England, like Marlborough, Avery Hill. In Bosnia we have some, in Bulgaria, Czech Republic, and so on, Macedonia. They are like a mid-sized power plant. And finally, if you have huge pyramids, like Egyptian, Bosnian, Chinese, Mexican, Peruvian, you have really big, big power plants.
Interesting. This has been great fun for me, as always, Dr. Sam. I have one last question for you, and I don't know if you can answer this one, but we had Valery Uvarov on the show talking about his pyramid work in Russia. He's building a pyramid just, I think it's just north of St. Petersburg. And Valery is quite interesting. And what's fascinating about the Russians is that for decades, they have been studying pyramid energy. And they have been building technology to measure emanations and the effects on human physiology. Why is no one else picking up on this work with subtle energy? It's so amazing.
You are right. From 1990, the knowledge that was coming from Soviet Union, which was suppressed, now in the modern Russia, they opened up. They are on YouTube. They are on international conferences. They write books. They translate the books in different languages. So now we can access that wealth of knowledge. Valery, he was building several pyramids, Moscow, St. Petersburg, and now this complex is in Tomsk, in southern Siberia. And I was there last year as the first foreigner to visit those pyramids. There are 9 of them at this point. 4 of them, square, smaller ones, another 4, and the bigger one in the middle. But it's mostly because of the health reasons of the owner of the pyramid. And you asked me about the reason. Well, the Russians are always a little bit, you know, close, but then it's a matter if the West wants to boycott them or not, but the Russians were smart. They were always combining the knowledge coming from East, the measuring equipment that you mentioned. They were always using traditional Chinese medicine with the Western medicine, combining that knowledge and so on. And it's so smart, and people should be, you know, looking on internet for the articles, for the YouTubes, you know, video clips about what they've done. And they are, you know, they have their peaks when it comes to pyramid science. Then we should not underestimate Indians. Last year when I visited southern India, from the Bangalore to the Auroville, eastern Indian Ocean site, in between there are several hundreds of pyramids, some of them really big. One in Bangalore can have 5,000 people to meditate at the same time. So they use them for the meditation, but then through the meditation, you can affect all walks in your life. And of course, in Bosnia, which is the most open site in the world, so open that we invite volunteers, professionals and non-professionals like to come and join us. And on our website, bosnianpyramid.org, people can read information how to come in Bosnia in June, July, August, and September. They can join us anytime, 10 days, 3 days, 3 months, and they can be part of this huge discovery. They can uncover the concrete on the Bosnian Pyramid of Sun. They can discover new tunnels. They can discover artifacts, organic materials, and at the same time, they enjoy the work. I've seen so many volunteers working hard in the tunnels with the wheelbarrows all day long from 9 to 3 p.m. And after that, they go back to the tunnel and they relax, meditate for another hour. For amazing stories. And I think that you should be the one who will do one of your next shows directly from Bosnia. If not this, then next.
Yeah, we talked about that. Well, let's talk about that. What's Dr. Sam Osmanovic going to be doing in 2017? How many days are you, how many months are you in Bosnia? And then, of course, for those of you who don't know, Dr. Sam has a residence in Houston. He has a business in Houston. So, but how many months out of the year are you at the pyramids or in Bosnia?
When I put everything together, 4 to 5 months.
Oh,
of course,
okay.
I go to Houston and I do have my business, go to Croatia. And then the last year I had over 60 lectures in 27 countries on 4 continents. So I promote this project. And it's not about the pyramids being in Bosnia. It's about the global consciousness. It's about the science that had to be open, with open-minded people ready to share. It's about the volunteerism. It's about the concept of living, which is different than what we have today. It's about development of spiritual senses and then having them in balance with the physical. It's about living in harmony with the nature. All of that is present. You know, in our case, last year we opened a beautiful park where we discovered, by the way, the entrance to the second level tunnels. We have some archaeology. Wow. But we have the organic food. We have so many nice stuff. We teach people how to love the nature, how to feel the energy of the trees, how to hug them, so a lot of beautiful stuff and so many life transformation of the people who came to Bosnia. And really, Bosnia is a very inexpensive country. So just buy a ticket, $1,200, and then for less than, you know, $500-$600, people can spend 10 or 15 days there.
And where can they find this information? What's the website?
So, www.bosnianpyramid.org. O-R-G.
Okay.
Bosnianpyramid.org.
Fantastic. Dr. Sam Osmanovic, it's been wonderful. I look forward to possibly coming out there one of these days. and actually seeing firsthand this wonderful pyramid and your work. So thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome.
So that was Dr. Sam Osmanovic in Bosnia. It's funny that the Eastern Bloc countries, Northern Europe, they seem to be more open to the potentials of these pyramids from an energy point of view. We've had Valerie Uvarov on the show, who's actually building pyramids in Russia. I mentioned it a little bit in that interview. But why aren't academic archaeologists considering the energy of pyramids? Why is there a block there? Why? I mean, to my mind, It's the independent researchers who have actually discovered what these pyramids do and how they were built and why, what were their purposes. Well, I mean, why in El Mirador build a 243-foot tall pyramid? And I mean, their interpretation, Dr. Richard Hansen's interpretation, was that it was built as a sacred mountain. Well, that's a hell of a lot of work to put into a sacred mountain. So anyhow, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Hey, I want to remind you, if you're enjoying programming here on Earth Ancients, I'd appreciate it if you would go to iTunes and write a review of the program. I don't expect you to give us 5 stars. You can, you know, give us whatever rating you feel is appropriate. But if you could give us a review, it would help grow the program. We're trying to reach out to more people around the world, and it helps. It helps when you do that. So anyhow, I hope you enjoyed the show. That's it for today. And we will see you next week.